Welcome to the Peg Leg Podcast. I am Greg Marshall, sharing stories about real life. I call them stories with a limp. They're just honest and transparent tales about what it's like to be human. This is episode 14. It's a very vulnerable story for me to share. It's one of the most personal and intimate experiences that Laura and I have ever had together. It's the story of when we found out Laura was pregnant with Genevieve, our first child. It was one of the most difficult periods of our marriage. We learned a lot about each other and about ourselves. That season of life was one of the realest, most challenging, and most tangible lessons in love that I've ever experienced. I'm thankful for that season, but I'm especially thankful that we made it through it together. This is unplanned parenthood, starting a family before we wanted to. When Laura told me the news, she looked afraid. I could sense that she simultaneously wanted to fall into me for comfort and yell at me with resentment. She did neither of those things. Instead, she became distant and stoic. We didn't plan it. I hadn't really even thought about becoming parents. We had only been married a few months, and that in and of itself was kind of hard. We were best friends, but all this change was very difficult for us. When she said, "I'm pregnant," I had my own collision of feelings. I actually felt a little excited. It was like a door had just been opened in my heart to a whole new universe that I literally hadn't thought about. But while feeling that, I saw how afraid Laura was. And honestly, at the time, I didn't really understand why she felt that way. Looking back, I can see how intense it all was. We were young. She was 23. I was 24. Laura has always been very independent. But now in several contexts, she was being referred to as Greg's wife. That was awful for her because she wanted to be seen and valued as an individual too, which I totally understand. And she was living in a city where she had no close connections, and I did. And she was struggling to find her people. Marriage had turned her world upside down, and I know she was also trying to figure out what kind of husband I was going to be. Is Greg going to become a domineering and controlling husband, or is he the friend I hope he is? Getting married triggered that question in her in a very deep way, I believe. It was a huge disruption to her identity, and it stirred fears in her heart that I'm not sure she was totally conscious of until we had rings on our fingers and were standing in our first apartment together. And now, in addition to all of that, her physical body as she knew it was being taken over by a surprise pregnancy. And as I say all this, I'm fully aware that different people feel all kinds of different feelings when they find out they're pregnant. For some people, it's a joyful discovery. Others grieve because they can't get pregnant. Everyone has a different experience. This was ours. A mix of fear, anxiety, and a little hope. At the time, I was working at a mental health clinic that specializes in serving children who have autism and other spectrum-related challenges. I was spending a lot of my time with young kids, helping them and their families to navigate some significant challenges. Think about that. I'm 24 years old, spending every day with children who are born with developmental disabilities and delays, and my wife gets pregnant. My mind automatically assumed that, well, maybe God put me in this work environment to prepare me for having a child with a disability. And that may sound like a weird thing to think, but that's honestly what was happening in my mind. And really, I was thankful that if that was the case, I'd be prepared, or at least, you know, more prepared. I loved working with those families. They were some of the most impressive and wonderful humans I've ever met in my life. And I really think that in some way, my working there was a divine gift. When my daughter was born, I was more ready than I would have been if I hadn't done that work. Anyways, I was also writing music to help the kids that I worked with. I tell that story in more detail in episodes 5, 6, and 7 of this podcast. Long story short, the music I was creating with kids was changing their lives. And as a result, the owner of the company I worked for, Dr. Andy Paulson, hired me and a couple of my friends to write more music to change the lives of more children and parents. So there I was, excited about this dream come true of writing music full time, while my beautiful wife was experiencing the opposite. To make things worse, Laura became super sick. She threw up every day for 4 months. I remember sitting at the bottom of the stairs in our loft apartment, plucking my guitar, writing a song, and I'd hear the bathroom door open. I'd put my guitar down and quietly walk up the stairs and peek into the bathroom. Laura would be on her knees in front of the toilet, suffering quietly. I'd slowly walk over to her, get on my knees behind her, and gently rub her back. Then she'd throw up. I'd hold her hair up so that she wouldn't get any vomit on it. I didn't know if she wanted me there or not, but she didn't kick me out, so I stayed. I remember feeling so powerless, wishing I could do something more than hold her hair and rub her back. I knew her struggle with this went deeper than the physical discomfort. I felt like I couldn't fix any of it. She looked so brave and patient. She didn't complain or seem resentful toward the baby. She just quietly suffered and kept going. At the time, Laura was working at a small marketing agency, and going to work was always awful. She was constantly nauseous. The car ride there, while at work, the car ride home, at home. Watching Laura navigate that season of life with so much grace is all the proof I need to know that she's stronger than I am. It wasn't just the physical sickness that she carried. There was an internal tension that I knew was there, but I didn't really have access to it. You see, when Laura feels something deeply, she needs to process it alone for quite a while. No matter how much I ached to know what she was thinking and feeling, I had to wait. She was not going to talk about it. I think she felt so many emotions all at once. Maybe feeling guilty about how she was feeling, but she was also trying to give herself permission to be honest about it. She needed to process at her own pace, and for me that was scary because I could sense there was a universe inside of her that I did not have access to. She felt distant. But then one day, something changed. Laura had taken a trip to Arizona to visit a couple friends. When she returned, I could see and sense that something was different. She was a little more lighthearted and even a little cheerful. I didn't know what to think. After a couple minutes of small talk, she said she wanted to share something with me. I knew this was it. She was finally going to articulate the thoughts and words that had grown in her heart over these last few months while growing a tiny human inside of her body. She pulled a small brown statue out of her bag. The sculpture was three small people connected by their hands in a circle. She held it up for me to look at and she said, "When I saw this, it made me think of our baby. And as I thought about it, I realized this baby is part of us. We get to decide for ourselves what family looks like for us. No one else. We don't have to do it how others have done it. Our family can look how we want it to look. We can create our own culture, our own memories, our own rhythms and traditions." She talked about our baby with hope and excitement for the first time. It was the most beautiful conversation I had ever had with Laura to that point. And I realized that all that time she was feeling sick, she was quietly facing her fears and preparing her own heart to know and love this baby that was part of us. During our engagement, we talked about wanting our life to be an adventure together. After getting married and becoming pregnant, we realized that having a child doesn't change that. The adventure continues. We just get to bring this little human along with us. Ultrasound day was epic. Hearing the heartbeat was profound. And then when they showed us a picture, they said, "It's a girl." The baby's profile was exactly like Laura's. Both of us could see it right away. She was identical to Laura. I looked at Laura to see how she'd respond to that. She had this look of calm, peaceful awe. One day I was playing my guitar, singing different melodies and making up lyrics, and I heard the bathroom door open. I went upstairs to participate in our kneeling by the toilet routine, and as I held Laura's hair and rubbed her back, I whispered to the baby growing inside my wife, "You are loved. You are a daughter. You are more valuable than the money we make. You are loved, and nothing is going to change that." When Laura went to lay down, I walked back downstairs and started singing those words. "You are loved. You are a daughter, more precious than gold or silver." I imagined my child and other children singing those words in response. "I am loved. I am a son. I am a daughter." I sang it over and over until it became a song. And that's how the song "I Am Loved" was created. Laura was in labor for 72 hours. I'm not exaggerating. 72. Contractions started slow and small. Eventually, they got bad enough that we went to the hospital. As soon as they admitted us, the contractions stopped. They sent us home and said, "Don't come back until you're so far along." So we didn't. We stayed home and the contractions kept going and going. Laura refused to go to the hospital until she was so uncomfortable she couldn't stand it anymore. Now, you have to realize, Laura is a master of denying that she is in pain, both physically, emotionally, or mentally. She will not admit it. She could cut off her finger and she'd say, "I'm fine." We eventually went back to the hospital, took a break in the parking ramp to throw up, and then eventually found our way to the hospital room. We were there for a very long time. Laura tried to give birth naturally with no drugs, but her body literally would not push the baby out. We learned that drugs can be a very good thing. When the moment came to meet our little girl, it all felt very surreal. A new human being was about to enter the room, and she was ours. The midwife said, "She's coming." When that little girl was born, they held her up, and she was purple. She was perfect, and she was nothing like I expected. I saw me. I saw my family in her face. She had dark, curly hair. Laura is blonde. I was blonde as a child. This little baby was nothing like we expected, and that was awesome. She started crying. They placed her on Laura's chest, mama and daughter. That was so beautiful. No words can describe the peaceful contentedness I saw on Laura's face. I saw intentionality and care and purpose and strength in her eyes. She loved this little baby with all of herself. At one point, they placed the baby on a warming bed, and she was crying. I walked over and put my face close to hers as she cried, and I said to her, "Hey, it's okay. I'm your dad, and I'm going to take care of you." She immediately stopped crying and looked at me. She recognized my voice. That was amazing. I was the first person to change her diaper. I held her on the pull-out bed and stared at her for as long as I could. When it was time to name her, Laura and I debated between two names, Anya and Genevieve. It was a draw. So we started using the different names in imaginary contexts to see which one felt better. We would give ourselves scenarios like, okay, so we're in the mall and she runs away. What feels better to yell? "Genevieve, get back here!" Yeah, definitely that one. So that's how we chose. When it was time to go home, Laura and I wanted to just stay there. We didn't understand how these nurses and doctors would allow us to take this vulnerable child home with us. We didn't know what we were doing. Totally clueless. But they kicked us out, and we put this little infant in a car seat and took her home. As I drove down the interstate back to the house we were renting, I felt something new. I felt a stronger sense of purpose. That little tiny girl in the back of my car is going to call me her daddy. She's going to look up to me. She'll need me to protect her and provide for her and to play with her. And how she sees herself as an adult will be hugely shaped by how I treat her and how I treat her mother. I let those thoughts settle into my heart and my mind as we drove down the damp interstate on that cloudy afternoon. Genevieve will be 15 years old in less than 2 months. I will never forget seeing her purple little perfect face and dark curly hair the first time I laid eyes on her. Now she is a kind and thoughtful young woman. She cares deeply about people. She's a wonderful friend to her crew of amazing young girls. Her talent as a dancer is mesmerizing. She's in tune with the Creator and filled with wonder and imagination. And she looks exactly like her mom. The way I see it, every sacrifice we have made for her has been worth it. I've come to believe that the greatest adventures in life are not found by escaping the life we have with all of its tensions, but instead by being wildly present to it. The more present we are to the life we have, the more power we have to transcend it and to find ourselves transformed, more able to love and to be loved. We did not plan to become parents. But we did plan for and talk about living an adventure together, like I said. When Genevieve came into our lives, we didn't say things like, "Well, it's time to settle down," or, "Well, now we can't live out that adventure we talked about." We simply made room for her on that adventure. She became part of it. She came with us and is coming with us. And then one day soon, she'll move out and start her own adventure, and we will cheer her on with every ounce of our being, feeling eternally grateful for the surprise and delight that she has been. That's the story of Genevieve Violet Marshall. Thank you for listening, friends. I'm going to leave you now with that song I called "I Am Loved." Admittedly, I'm not the greatest singer in the world, especially on this song. Johanna, though, the woman who was singing with me, she sounds great. Regardless, I hope you hear the sincerity in my voice when I sing these words, and you can imagine me sitting at the bottom of our stairs in that apartment building, in awe of my wife and her sacrificial love, as I strum my guitar, humming these words, anxious to meet that little human. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe, rate it, comment, share it with others. Thank you again for listening.
That means you are accepted.
Peace.
And nothing can change that. You are precious. You're more valuable than any money, any silver or gold. You are a son. You are a daughter.